This is the sermon delivered at the end year worship service on December 26, 2021. The message title is Footprints in the Sand. The message was delivered by Pastor Yun. Scripture passage is from Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Good morning, everyone. This morning, we'd like to look at Book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. It's been a long time. I had a sabbatical vacation from September to November, and returned to work in December. The 3 months of sabbaticals were a time of gratitude. I think I was able to spend my time very luxuriously. I was able to have plenty of time with my family and with God. I played with my son almost every day. I enjoyed the nature of autumn colors with my family. I ate delicious food and exercised every day. Above all, these 3 months were the time I was able to face God seriously. I exposed my weaknesses to God, and I'm convinced that I received the power to stand up again from God. It was a wonderful and refreshing time. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to the many people who gave me the sabbatical for 3 months, the help of many people during that time, and above all, the prayers for me. Only a few days are left in 2021. Today is the last Sunday in 2021. In Korea, when we look back on a year, we often use the phrase, many events and many difficulties. We look back on the year with the thought that there were many things that happened and many problems that we faced. What kind of year has this year 2020 been for you? This year has become an unforgettable year for me. That is because my son, Irei, was born in March. It's been such a special year that I'm sure that 2021 will never be forgotten, no matter how many years might have passed. My son grew up quickly as he was supported by everyone's prayers, and now he is 9 months old. There are many people who look at me and my son and say that we look very alike. At the time of the baby dedication ceremony, Pastor Hon told me that when he saw Irei, he could tell that Kokemi was actually a handsome man. I don't know what it means. There are two things that I especially think my son resembles me as a father. He is big, and he makes up to us. My son has grown much larger than the average 9-month-old figure. There is a growth curve that measures the height and weight of a baby, but my son's figures are far beyond the average. And he makes up to me. As with all babies, my son loves to be hugged and urges me to hug him first. When I get home, he's big and heavy. If I hold him for a long time, my arms become numb. But when I try to lower him, he cries. So I have no choice but to keep holding him all the time. Then my son will fall asleep in my arms. The sleeping son seems to be comforted. He must be comforted by being held in my arms. It is not just babies who are comforted by being held in someone's arms. I don't think people will be held after they grow up, but regardless of age, we have some experiences of feeling relieved when we are hugged by our loved ones while we were feeling heavy in our hearts or depressed. By the way, the expression of carrying on the back appears in the Bible passage we just read. From the time we are in the womb until we have gray hair, God carries us on His back. How do we feel when we are carried by God? How do we feel about God who has been carrying us for the past year? At this time of the year-end worship, let us look back on the year and through this Bible passage, let us think together that God is carrying us. Chapter 46 of Isaiah features an expression comparing the idol gods of the empire called Babylon with our God. The Babylonian Empire was a great country that was proud of its strongest power at that time. A powerful country at that time meant a country that was strong in war, and the war at that time meant that it was a proxy war for the gods. In other words, the stronger the country, the more prevalent the idol gods. It can be said that the Babylonian Empire, which was proud of its mighty power, was also powerful in the power of the idol gods. See the same Isaiah chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Bel here was the main deity of the gods that the Babylonian Empire believed. The word Bel meant master and was believed to be the father of all gods. Nebo was the god who controlled wisdom. The gods Bel and Nebo believed in the strongest nation of Babylon, were famous and believed to protect Babylon from many and guide Babylon. It is because he believes in Bel and Nebo that he can continue to prosper without losing the war. However, the Bible says that the gods who gathered such great faith and who were supposed to have power kneel and bend down. Because they were idols, they could not save those who believed in them. No matter how strong in the war the empire might be, or no matter how mighty the empire is believed to be, the reality is that their gods cannot move unless they are carried on the back of the livestock. And even the animals cannot be saved but made weary. The gods are worshipped for their mighty power, but in reality they have no power to even move themselves without animals or livestock. There are many things that look mighty to our eyes. There are so many things that look great to our eyes. They might appear to bring salvation. You may feel relieved that you are protected by them. Sometimes you cannot help but think they are giving you strength like Bel and Nebo that the Babylonian Empire believed. However, in the end, all of them become a burden. They do not make you feel at ease, but weary. Let us read again Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, and have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. The word I appears 5 times in the verse 4 alone. It is emphasized that only God carries us, no one else. Unlike the gods who make us carry them, our God carries us from before our birth to gray hairs. Those who were carried before they were born, in some English translated Bible, it is translated as someone born of me, me meaning God, the one born of God, the one who believes that God is the only one who will save him. God will be with him in all the processes of his life, and God will rescue him and hold him on God's back. It was Christmas yesterday. Churches around the world celebrated Christmas. I was delighted to remember that the light was brought to the whole world. It is the joy that we became the children of God by Jesus Christ. As we read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith." From the beginning to the end of our lives, God, our Father, is with us. At any time, He carries us as His children. We can gain peace by having God who carries us on His back, just like our children can feel at ease in their parents' arms. However, one question arises here. If God is with us in all of our lives, and if God carries us on His back, why do we suffer? It's easy to find a painful memory, whether you look back on a year, the last half year, last 3 months, last 1 month, or even last 1 week. Perhaps you are suffering at this very moment. Why on earth is there such suffering in the life of the believers that God is supposed to carry? It is because we forget God. Let's check from two passages. First, from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." Everything that God does is beautiful in its time. Therefore, let's think about God's grace at that right time. Think about God's will and expect God to do it. It is the passage that gives us such hope, gives us strength when it is hard, and it reminds us of gratitude when we are in His grace. But the passage does not end here. It goes on to say that God has also given eternity to the hearts of man. To the heart of man. But one cannot discern from the beginning to the end of God's work. We also need to keep this in mind. It is said that what God and God the Father, who is omnipotent, does is beautiful, but here the word beautiful means perfect. Everything that God does is perfect, and when God's work is done, it is also perfect. To put it simply, there is no error in what God does. In the Bible, eternity means God. The eternity given to a person's heart means a person who has to die for sin, that is, a person who has a limit, will participate in God's salvation. To say that there is no limit for eternity means that there is no death. God wants to save sinful humans. He does not want them to die, but to be saved to receive eternal blessings. That is God's desire, and He does His work for that purpose. God wants us to be saved and blessed. And it is said that the desire is given to a person to seek salvation and to seek God. But no matter how much eternal thoughts a person has, no matter how much salvation he wants, or no matter how much cravings he has for blessings, he cannot know how it starts and what the consequences are. What God does or God's plan is beyond what we can imagine. With this in mind, let's read another passage. Isaiah chapter 49 verses 14 through 16. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me." Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. There's a difference between the beautiful time of God and the best time that one thinks. So people feel that God has forgotten them, or that this suffering is because God has forsaken them. However, God says that He will never forget His people. The hand is the part of our body that we look at very often. God carved His people's names in His hand so that they would not disappear from His mind. God never forgets us, no matter what. As a practice in the Bible era, engraving a person's name on his hand was an indication of who he belonged to. Our names are engraved on God's hand. It means that God Himself has become ours. Not only we belong to God, but God also has become ours. Also, the wall of the city is in front of God. This shows that God protects us, even if it is a tattered wall that is about to collapse. It will be a strong defense that nothing can be broken if God is in front of it. God, who never forgets us, protects and guides us with great love. Can we always remember such a God? Today's message title is Footprints in the Sand, which is the name of a famous poem familiar to many Christians. Since it is the source of the lyrics of the worship of a worship song called Footprints, I think that many people know through the worship song. I would like to read the poem. Footprints in the Sand. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamt he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. At the end of 2021, let us look back on the footsteps of the year. Is there one set of footprints? Are there two sets? Remember that there is always the footprints of God the Father in our steps. Remember that we always have the peace of the Lord, who says that He carries us and rescues us. Finally, I would like to read one passage from Psalms chapter 71, verse 6. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. We would like this praise to be our song. While remembering the blessings of 2021, let us make a mark of God's walking together with us in 2022.